Let us turn to the book of Joshua. You can turn to the 14th chapter. And while you're turning to it, I'd like to say two or three things. One is, would you kindly, if you have your car on the grounds, if you'd kindly, after the morning worship, please take your car and put it in the parking lot. Point number one. Point number two, I must make this announcement because we have new folks here all the time, and we must be very clear about it. If you take out canoes or rowboats, please do not stop or land on the island over there. That is private property. It is rigged to alert the sheriff to come immediately for trespassers, and you might have quite a little scene on your hands. And I might have a scene on my hands, too. And so kindly avoid that. Do not go on any of the shore property. All of this property is private property. And the owners are rather jealous about it. And so we want to help keep good neighborly relations. One other thing, and I may make the announcement later. I don't know whether I have to or not. But will all of the palace staff, the male staff, and the grounds crew kindly meet immediately after morning worship in the den over here, to the room to my right. Immediately, all of the male palace staff, the Chinaman, the Brillo boy, and the rotators, and then the groundsmen who work with Brother Tom, kindly meet over there immediately after the close of morning worship. Thank you. Joshua. Now, we have been reading in the book of Joshua. I'd like to call your attention to one or two little things before we go into the 14th chapter. At the end of the 11th chapter, in the 11th chapter, you have the conquest of the northern part of Palestine and the victory that God gave there. Now then, at the end of that chapter, it says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. In the 12th chapter, you have the list of the 31 kings that Joshua subdued, and the victories that God gave. And then in the beginning of the 13th chapter, you have an interesting thing. It almost seems as though it's contradictory, but it's not. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And then this is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and so on. And he goes, he speaks of the extreme south in verses 3 and 4. And then he turns and speaks about the extreme north that still remain to be possessed. You know how it is. You have these folks who are up in the mountains. What do you call them now? The name slips my mind. These folks who stick around there and they cause trouble. And yet... You know, it was true that after the Philippines were completely subdued, you had these folks hiding away, Japanese groups and whatnot in the mountains, and they weren't they decided to live there and live on there for a while. Now, some of you bright folks ought to be able to supply that name.
Gorillas.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, these gorillas. I don't know why that name should skip me for the moment. They had these gorillas and these people that, they weren't fighting the children of Israel. They were just, and the children of Israel hadn't really gotten rid of them. And we'll see something more about that as we go on. But today we come to a very interesting selection here in the 14th chapter of Joshua. Would you lead us, please, in reading that chapter, Brother Mike?
I'll read two, and then if you'll read two, we'll read the last one all together. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe.
For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance.
As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea.
40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went out with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God.
And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou wholly follow the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old.
And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and dense. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.
And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's read the last together.
And the name of Hebron, which was great Jaron, which Jaron was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war.
Now if you'll turn over to the next chapter, the 15th chapter, we can read the 13th and 14th verses together. Joshua 15, verses 13 and 14. Together.
And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove next to the three sons of of the Lamanite, Shishai, the Ahiman, and the Talmai, the children of Anak.
Now, in the next chapters, you find out that Joshua was made to divide the land according to law.
Yeah.
You're given the various lots and of which the various tribes got. And you have them settling into the various parts of the land. We'll continue with some of that thought tomorrow. Caleb and Joshua. Now there is a great deal of importance attached to this story. One thing is that Caleb telling us that he was 45 years old at this time, it is subtly brought out in various places, and sometimes you don't realize the importance of something that may be said as far as the chronology as a whole is concerned. That's very interesting and very helpful and very blessed when you really settle down to study the thing. The Lord has given us a marvelous chronology in the Old Testament, and we can be thankful for it. But I'm not going into that today. That's just sort of incidental. But here we have this story of Caleb coming to request his inheritance. There are some things about that are interesting. In all probability, this was about 5 years after they had entered the land. Something like that. It might not be actually accurate. And of course, it wasn't feasible for Caleb to claim his inheritance before that. It wouldn't have been legitimate for him as soon as they'd gotten across Jordan to say, now I'm going to have my possession. There was a time when that should be given to him. I think that's something that we need to learn. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, that there is often a time when God wants us to enter in to the victory that God has provided for us and has promised to us. Now, there was no slackness on the part of Caleb up to this present time. Nothing of that nature at all. But it wasn't God's time for him to claim his inheritance. On the other hand, there's something else that I think we ought to be sure to remember, and I'd like to say this for the benefit of any who may be 80 or past 80 in this room. There are some who are past 80 in this room, and that is this, that you shouldn't stop claiming your inheritance because you're 80. But you should say, God, I'm going to have what God purchased for me. And I may be 80 and I may be 80 plus, but I'm going to believe that God is going to give me victory. Hallelujah. He's going to give me what I have need of. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes people who are 80, they sort of fold their wings and they don't take the attitude, well, I'm going to press on and get help from God and grow in grace. And I'll just sit by the silent sea and wait for death to come. Now, that's too bad. We ought to believe that as long as God has us here, that he has something for us and victories for us. And here's something else. The other side of it is people who are around folks who are 80, they shouldn't have the attitude either, oh, well, they're 80 and they won't change and, well, they're just waiting for the chariot to come and take them home and fine. So, you know, that's not the right attitude to have. But we ought to be having an attitude where as long as God has us here, he wants us to believe, and he wants us to believe for people who may be under our care and so forth. Why, we ought to believe that they'll grow in grace right to the very last moment that God has them here. Praise the Lord. How many people they feel, well, now I'm 70, and, well, I guess I won't be here very much longer, and they sing that song for, and they have to sing it for 20 years. And it sounds like a broken record. Now, that's too bad. That's too bad. Oh, I won't be here very long. Won't be here very long. Well, what difference does it make whether you're here long or short time? Well, why not believe God? God has something for folks who are 85. Now, God had something for Caleb. He was 85. Now, he could have easily said, well, who knows how much longer I'll be around. I don't have to have that mountain. What good is it going to do me now at this time of my life? I'd be quite happy down here in the valley and in this nice spot and so forth and so forth and so forth. But you know, God would like us to adopt an attitude of militancy. Now, I'll say something else for us who are on this side of 80. And that's this. The probabilities are that if you don't cultivate an attitude of militancy before you're 80, you're not going to cultivate it after you're 80. And you know, we we're creatures of habit. And if we're not fighting the good fight of faith now and keep it up, but we let down, the probabilities are we're not going to do much about it when we're 80 or 85. But God would like us to believe God continually. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is no provision in God for old age. Now, I'm not saying, when I say that, I am not saying that God doesn't take care and provide for old people. No, that's not what that says, what I said at all. But there's no, in other words, there's no provision that you just sort of, succumb and say, now I'm old, so I can't get any more blessings. Rather, we ought to take that attitude that the psalmist has when he says, mine age is as nothing before thee. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Hallelujah. Had a dear friend who was 85, and she had led a very, very useful and vigorous life right up to the time that she was 85 in Christian work, working for God every day, just working for God every single day. And then she had an invitation to, when the Lord impressed her that she should go to visit some islands in the Caribbean where she had ministered before. And she thought, my, oh my, and she knew all the dangers that were incident to the trip, and she knew there wouldn't be any comforts. She knew it would be probably, if she had to go from island to island, it would be rough sailing. And she wondered, now, is this right? Is this right? And she presented it to the Lord, and she opened her Bible, and that was the eyes her verse fell upon. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Well, she said, I guess that's what the Lord wants. And she put out two or three other fleeces, and the Lord made them all wet or dry, as the case might be. And she went, and she had a marvelous missionary trip at the age of 85. Mm. And she had some rough sailing as she went from island to island, and a real rough sailing. She said, I put my head way down in the bottom of the ship, the boat. She said, you know, I just put it way down there. And I said, well, if I go down to the bottom of the sea and I'm buried here and the fishes get me, well, the Lord will get me resurrected. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see spunk like that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And God wants us to believe Him and to continue to believe Him. Faith is God's call all the time. Hallelujah. But now, isn't this a marvelous thing? Isn't this a marvelous word that we have here? The testimony that Caleb had of himself, and then that Moses gave of him, and that the Lord himself gave of him. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. It says, I applied myself to follow. You have to do that, you know. You have to apply yourself to follow. A lot of things just don't happen. But we need to have a heart that is fixed. And I applied myself to follow. I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses said, you know, you're going to have the place whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance because you wholly follow the Lord. And so he comes to Joshua, a good associate, and he says, now listen here, time for me to get that inheritance. It's time, Lord. And he says, I know that the place is filled with Anakims. But if the Lord's with me, why, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. There's some interesting suggestions in these words. And in these children. A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, he has quite some observations. He said that the Arba and stands for the natural heart and all the forces of the self-life. And Anak, that means long-necked. And he suggested that stands for pride and self-will. Shishai, free. Talmai, bold. The Hymen, brother of man. They're natural forces. Now, usually, you know, names in the Old Testament signify something. Evidently, these people who inhabited Hebron and this place, this hill, they were a proud, stiff-necked, self-righteous lot. And they were strong in themselves. They were, you know, they were great men, as it say there in the next they were really great people. We got to remember that. They weren't any little enemies at all. And it says, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And he did. He did. We must believe that God will give us power to drive out our enemies, no matter how old we are. But listen, back of it all is this. You just can't rise up and be victor. After living in doubt and fear and unbelief, you've got to make it a practice of wholly following the Lord right along. And then as you wholly follow the Lord right along, then you go from strength to strength. And you have one victory after another. And so may God give us grace to wholly follow the Lord today. Wholly follow the Lord today. And then we will be able to follow Him wholly tomorrow. And then we'll be able to follow Him wholly the next day. And then, if we're brought up to a place where there are giants in some place that we need to get a hold of and get to deliverance over, then we will have the strength and the ability to claim those places in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't forget that Hebron, the meaning of Hebron, is communion. And Caleb was after the place of commune. He wanted that place of commune. Complete fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Victory over all the works and power of the enemy. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Others saw the giant. Caleb saw the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Victory.
Victory. Blessed blood bought victory.
Something very special for them. Oh God, do something very special for them, we pray. Manifest yourself to them this day. Let them, oh God, enjoy the victories and blessings and presence of God. Oh Jesus, Jesus, we believe that you will do it for your great name's sake. And oh God, help us who are minus Eden, that we may wholly follow the Lord today and tomorrow and the next day, that God may be magnified in the earth and in our lives. And help us, O God, to take our possessions in Jesus' precious name. Let us have one victory after another until it becomes apparent that the true God reigns.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let me repeat it. Will all the staff men from the palace and the grounds crew meet in the den over here immediately? Now, we'll be with our brother Mike, who wants to talk, has some things to take care of as far as this week is concerned. All right, God bless you.